We're talking about Christmas traditions today. And so we hammer the scriptures from January to December. And I think over the next couple of weeks, we're going to do things just a little bit different. So Matt, why don't you go out into the public and let me hear your Christmas traditions. You know, when I was a kid, I remember going into my aunt's house every Christmas Eve, and we'd have a gift exchange, and so there was kind of a big family, and we'd all get together there, and when it got dark, we would drive around. Now, this was awesome when I was a kid, but probably can't do that today. We would drive around in a couple of cars, and we wouldn't be inside. We'd actually ride on the hood, and we would drive around the neighborhood, and back then, of course, this is years ago. Back then, every house that had their porch light on, you would stop and sing a Christmas carol to. And so you'd stand in the yard and you would sing, and they would come out and they'd have little styrofoam cups of hot chocolate and cookies that they made fresh, and some of them were warm and wonderful. And we would do that for as long as the people would have lights on. And we'd jump on the car and go to the next house that had a light on and just go from house to house to house. And I remember my uncle, Ron Andrews, he had a yellow, canary yellow Jeep with carpet on the bumpers. And he would take us, I won't tell you the road we used to go on, but we'd attach our sled to the bumper. And we'd drive down the road, the snow. And man, we'd look forward to that stuff. That was fun. That was our tradition. What was your tradition? What did you used to do? Somebody have a tradition they want to share. Awesome. It's all right. We got all day.
This is a tradition we actually still do. So my great-grandma, on Christmas Eve, we would have shrimp cocktail, no judgment, shredded chicken sandwiches and Christmas cookies, and then we would just play games. And so she's been gone for many years, and we still do that tradition on Christmas Eve.
Amen. Someone else.
Who else?
So this isn't like on Christmas or Christmas Eve, but it's like, you know, around Christmas time tradition. My husband's family has always gone with the kids, like the uncles and everything when they were kids, and they would go cut down the biggest Christmas tree they could. It was a contest. So now that all the boys are grown, now this is new to me. We all go out with our kids and his brothers, their wives, his dad, and we all go out to Gatton. Yeah, and we all cut down real live Christmas trees, and it's just a fun time. So we always do that every year.
Amen.
Well, this has to do with my mother's side of the family. My grandmother had 17 kids. My mother was number 15. I have a lot of first cousins. So when I was young, back in the other century, usually once around Christmas time, that family would get together and exchange gifts. And, of course, there were a lot of kids. And one year it was in our basement. It was all fixed up for Christmas. And so my dad and my uncle decided they needed something for the kids to do. So they brought in a big pile of sawdust and put a whole bunch of pennies in it. And we had to dig out. We had the fun of digging out the pennies. But usually, sometime during the Christmas season, that family would get together, and it would be a pretty festive time.
That's amazing.
Pennies, Richard. You'd have to put in like $5 for kids to go get it now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's pennies in there, kids.
Pennies.
Like,
I ain't going in there for pennies. I don't even know if they do it for dollars. Man.
Right.
How times have changed. Someone else.
When my kids were younger, because they're all grown now, the way that I explained Jesus to them is I would have a birthday party for Jesus on Christmas Eve. So I would make a birthday cake, and they understood that because their kids are concrete. So I would encourage anybody that has grandkids or younger kids to have a birthday party for Jesus, and I'd write "Happy Birthday, Jesus" on the cake. And they got that, and we blew out the candles. So that was just something I did, but I don't have that anymore. So if you need me to make a cake, I can. I can make it for this child, my man child.
You get to make a wish. And,
that's awesome. Someone else? All right, Scott.
My family, which were singers, we would always sing in Christmas programs before, and we'd always go and visit our grandparents. We lived in Cleveland, and we'd go to Warren and then, of course, to Mansfield.
How about you, Matt?
I didn't have many. When I was little, on the Trammell side, because he was a pastor, so he had to find a way to make Christmas, like, spiritual, right? And so when I was a little kid, there'd be all, like, we'd be with all my cousins and stuff, and there'd be, like, all these presents. And then he would just, like, open the Bible. It's like, we got to read the Christmas story. So he'd read the whole Christmas story in both books that the Christmas story is in, just to cover all the bases.
Wow. And that's then, a third-generation pastor family right there.
Right. And so I'm just going crazy at this point. I'm looking at these presents, and then he closes the Bible, and we think that he's done. And then he's like, all right, what's your favorite Christmas song? And so everyone will go around, we have to sing Christmas songs. Maybe that's why I don't like Christmas songs, praise to him. PTSD. Because I'm waiting to open presents, and we got to sing all these songs. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So that was really my only... Annie and I tried. Anybody do Elf on a Shelf out there? Yeah? Annie and I tried. Don't tell my kids this. But we tried to do a Christmas tradition with that thing. But we would forget. We would, like, put it out and, like, do something cool. And then we'd forget one night, and the kids would come down and then wake us up and say, hey, buddy's still in the same place. But if you read the story, like, if you touch him, he loses his magic, right? So I'd have to, like, have this fake interrogation of all my kids. All right, who touched Buddy? He didn't move last night. And all the kids are yelling at each other, blaming it. And so we were terrible. Elf on a Shelf. Buddy. Wow,
that's funny.
It is a tradition, but it's precious memories. I can remember at our old church every year going out and caroling for old people that have done passed away. Mm-hmm. And the look on their face when you sang it. And then Shelly's mom used to read the Christmas story every year to the kids. You know, you look back and you call it traditions, Danny, but I think a lot of our memories that we've had as kids are kind of passing away, and that's kind of sad.
Yes, it is.
And let me tell you, those kids loved hearing that Christmas story, especially when there was presents.
We do.
I knew I had a Nerf gun in there, brother. I didn't need to get to that. Tell New Year, hey, give them your New Year's. I think that's the weirdest thing. Give them your New Year's tradition.
All right. So up till the day my dad passed away, we did this New Year's tradition. And so I don't even remember what it was for. It was supposed to be for good luck throughout the year. And people do weird stuff. So what we would do is on New Year's Eve, we would go out the back door, and there was a plate we would put on the porch. And we would throw a penny, because back then, I mean, that was good money. So you'd throw a penny on the plate, and then on Christmas Day, you would go out the front, or New Year's Day, I'm sorry. You'd go out the front door, and you'd go to the back door and take the plate and set it on the front porch, right in front of the front door, and then you would throw the penny in the front door. And then that was supposed to get...
That's the weirdest thing I've ever. That's
I did that for 35 years. We did that.
You just wanted to see you do something dumb like that. What else can I make this kid do? Throwing pennies in doors.
That's like Tom said. Those are just memories that you have.
My parents made sauerkraut and pork.
Oh yeah, New Year's Day.
Sauerkraut is. I'm getting upset right now thinking about it.
That's amazing. But one of the greatest traditions that I used to love to do back in the day, and I don't know if you guys listen to that, we always loved the Charlie Brown, the Peanuts, you remember Halloween? The Great Pumpkin Patch, Charlie Brown, and it's a great pumpkin, and we used to, they didn't have it like they did today.
They had cartoons when you were little?
Only on Saturday from 6 to 11, and then you had to go outside and play because that was it.
They were color too, right?
And they were still in color.
That sound and all that?
Sound and all that stuff. But I'm only 10 years older than you are.
Yeah,
jeez. Right. But I remember waiting for Thanksgiving, watching the Peanuts, and then amazingly enough, at Christmas time, they had the Charlie Brown Christmas where was it Linus, would always do the Christmas story. Do you remember that? I love that trick. Can you roll that tradition?
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
National television. Every year.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
That's amazing. National television. What book is that from? Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 2.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And that's what Christmas is all about, right? There's been many traditions over the years. I mean, we've actually, we'll talk a little bit about it, but we've hawked Christmas from pagan religions and festivals and stuff. But here's the idea. We've lost our joy of Christmas. We've grown up. Do you like to hang lights?
Absolutely not.
It's plumb miserable.
I don't. But see, my excuse is I have these gutter guards, so the lights can't really clip in. So I'm like, sorry, Annie, gutter guards. Is that an excuse?
That's not an excuse. Okay. You never have enough extension cords, and there's never enough lights, and you got to do all this stuff. And then every year you got to do some new fun thing to make it fun. And it's just, you get old. You grow up. And you're like, man, I don't want to do that. Oh, here comes Christmas. Oh, all the lights, and I got to untangle this box of garbage.
Adult Christmasing is definitely not as fun as when you're
It's kid, not. Sure. We need the joy. Jesus said, let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's this childlike faith. It's this childlike fun. We miss this at Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas, and we miss the joy of the Lord in everything that we do. Man, could you imagine if we did a Christmas story like a child would do it? Could you? This is great. Watch this. The Christmas story as told by children, done through adults.
An angel came to see Mary.
She was doing laundry. And then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, what? I can't say good. Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
Well, they tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angels were singing,
glory. us. And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared. We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, could you imagine the Christmas story through the eyes of a child? Amazing. And they think it's so wonderful. And you the best baby ever. There, I said it. That's so amazing. You know, we need to get back to having traditional fun. You know, serving the Lord is fun. Serving the Lord is amazing. Serving God is awesome. But I think we've lost the joy of just doing our tradition of serving the Lord. We've lost the fun, the excitement that God brings. Does not Jesus bring excitement and joy? And why do we look so miserable? God's the best thing that ever happened to us. And we tell the Christmas story as if it's a chore. We hang our lights up for the Christmas season of his just some kind of, man. Do you know, we've not always had this stuff. I might have said this before, but we live in the greatest time and the greatest ever. We have the greatest amount of stuff that we've ever had. You know, do a little fun facts for us. Fun facts.
I love fun facts.
All right.
A lot of useless information up here in this brain.
Yes.
So let's go over some fun facts about Christmas. In 1640... did you know? Scotland abolished the observance of Christmas. It was not until 1958 that it became a legal holiday.
That's 300 years.
Yeah.
But did you also know? Yes. In America, back when the Puritans settled in Boston from 1659 to 1681, you know, Christmas was abolished in America too. It was outlawed. You weren't allowed to celebrate Christmas in America. Can you imagine that? Well, that day's coming too, because they're probably trying to take Christ out of everything. But you couldn't make merry at Christmas time because you'd be arrested just for celebrating Christmas. Is that amazing?
Oh, I bet you didn't know that in England in 1377, King Richard II had a Christmas feast where they consumed 300 sheep and 28 oxen. Sounds like my kind of party.
Yeah, you can eat a lot.
An oxen, that's a big, that's an ox is
an ox is a big, 28. But 300 sheep, that's a lot of lamb. Rack of lamb. Did you know, in World War II, do you know the bicycle trading card, the deck of cards, the bicycle company?
Christians don't play cards.
Well, they did at Christmas time.
Okay.
So the bicycle card company, they made cards for prisoners who were in Germany, and they sent them to them. And what it was is when you soaked those cards in water, they actually had escape routes in there. And that's how they got to the prisoners so that they could escape and find a way out.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. What a gift. That's a gift.
That's incredible. So you had to get out of the camp, though, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah, you'd have to get out of your prison cell and then escape. But
sure. In 1980, the Rubik's Cube was the largest selling Christmas toy, and it sold for $1.99.
Today it goes for about $10.
Inflation.
Have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube?
I have not.
Either have I.
I'd pull the pieces out and then put them back together the way the colors were.
So. I would take the, you could peel the sticker off.
Oh, and re-sticker
it. And then re-stick it.
Huh. Amazing.
Don't tell anybody I did that.
Anybody solve the Rubik's Cube? You one of them time masters?
Is there anybody?
Wow.
That can do a Rubik's Cube?
Couple Rob, of them back here.
Shocker. I'm shocked by that. Anybody else?
Dude. That's a...
There was a kid in my last youth group that would do like the, he'd do the timed Rubik's Cubes. Like he'd go to competitions, like real competitions.
Rubik's Cube?
They do it and then pop, pop. It was incredible.
Back in, now I remember the Rubik's Cube. I used to have one, but I remember the, how many of you had Cabbage Patch Kids? Look at, I knew it. I knew there was a bunch of you. You just wanted it so you could write the name and the little birth certificate you have. They were sold out at Christmas time. Couldn't find them anywhere. Man, you could name your price on some of that stuff.
I think I tortured some of my sister's cabbage patch.
Those were high dollar Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles for me, man, all the way.
Sweet.
All the way. I had the van. I had.
That's amazing.
Anybody remember when Tickle Me Elmo was a huge? Tickle Me Elmo?
You couldn't find those things anywhere.
No, you couldn't. They were priceless.
A dumb little Tickle Me Elmo doll.
Why didn't we invent that?
We missed out. Those are the things that gave people so much joy, and they're short-lived. Listen, this is some funny, fun facts. Mistletoe. How many of you kissed under the mistletoe? Okay, three of you.
Only if you're married.
You will never do it again. Did you know that the mistletoe, mistle thrush birds eat the berries from the mistletoe? They digest the seeds. And of course, when you digest stuff, it, okay. So, in their poop, those, can I say that?
You did.
I'll be taken off of Facebook for,
right.
Go to Facebook jail for saying poop. But when they do that, the seeds actually grow, and that's the way that the mistletoe grows is through mistle thrush birds' poo.
Huh.
And so in the old Germanic, the word for mistletoe was poop on a twig. That's facts. That's Christmas tradition facts right there. Wouldn't say nothing but the truth, so help me.
So initially they were probably airing it out, like just had it hanging somewhere. Like
probably, and then they're like, oh, what's that? That's pretty. Let's kiss under that thing.
Are they poisonous too? Is mistletoe
poisonous? I
don't
know. I wouldn't eat the berries. I know where they come from.
No, wash them first. All right, if you ever watched a lot of these Christmas stories, Christmas Vacation, if you've ever seen that, you'll see some mishaps, right? Clark is always getting himself into mishaps. But according to Consumer Product Safety, about 15,000 people will be in the emergency room between November and December due to some kind of decorating accident.
Do you ever fall from trying? Well, you don't hang lights on the gutter, so it doesn't matter.
There's been some houses, though, that I've done it, and there's been some sketchy situations, yeah, for sure.
It is. And every time you do something like that, you got to get up, and you're going to make sure nobody's watching. Like,
yeah,
somebody saw you fall. So everybody's always got their phone videotaping people.
I'm more of the rage Clark, where I start just, lights don't work, and I'm, you know, bad.
In 1939... a department store named Montgomery Ward's. How many of you remember Montgomery Ward's? They created Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They created it as a coloring book theme so that they could get parents to buy their coloring books for their kids. Now, you probably don't know that they're the ones that left the nose empty. They didn't want to make it red because they didn't want to depict Rudolph as a chronic alcoholic.
What did you say the store was? Is that a store?
Montgomery Ward's. Yeah, we used to have books. We used to have Montgomery Ward catalogs. They were huge.
Like Sears? Like rivaling Sears catalogs?
Oh, like three times as thick. Man, you get the Montgomery Ward's, you'd go through for months, man, circling stuff you wanted.
And back in that day, you probably used it as toilet paper too, right?
Probably could. It'd last you a lot longer than it does today. I mean, man, you'd have
hot commodity.
Yeah. Where's Keith? You know? Get one of those Montgomery Wards for Kentucky, Keith. Whoa.
Was it like glossy paper or?
Yeah, it was glossy. Never mind.
Okay. Someone just got that. All right, during the Christmas season, did you know that there's almost 2 billion with a B candy canes made? 2 billion.
That's a lot of candy canes.
Did you ever take them and sharpen them?
Oh, like put it to a point? Like the ends of them?
Like,
yeah, I'd try to like...
Just shank somebody in church?
Yeah. Well...
No one else has done that?
Yeah, okay. Nobody? You know you all do that stuff. It's like the same tradition.
You put it back in your mouth if you weren't careful. You can stab your mouth and draw...
That's right.
It's real.
Speaking of eating, do you know that you can actually eat your real pine tree after Christmas is over? Now, this is fun fact.
That's disgusting.
It may be. But they say that the needles are an excellent source of vitamin C. And you can eat them. Matter of fact, they take the Christmas trees afterward in some zoos, and they feed them to the animals because it's such a good nourishment for them.
You got to need some water to wash that down.
I have
pine
a fake trees. Tree. I have a fake tree.
You know? Vitamin C. Who would have thought?
Try some.
Denny's Restaurants. Did you know that they originally stayed open all night and all
hours.
Day? And they were built without actual... Their doors did not have locks on them. They were purposely built that way. But in 1988, they decided to close for Christmas Day. They couldn't lock their doors because there was no locks on their doors. So that day in 1988, no one was there, but they couldn't lock their doors. So
that's crazy.
Interesting, huh?
That is interesting. Speaking of fruitcakes, where's my fruitcake?
What'd you call me?
How many of you have ever had a fruitcake? Ate one. How many of you make them? Nobody makes them? Where do you get those?
Just I've never had one.
I've never had
in
a fruitcake.
In my almost 37 years, I don't think I've ever
had one. I've never had a fruitcake. I've been around a few. But
was there, I mean, is it a joke food or is it a real?
It's a real thing.
People really bring it to a party like, hey, look what I made. But I know I understand that everyone despises it. So what's the?
But they were originally created to last a long time.
Like Twinkies.
Like Twinkies, yeah. Like the cream filling in there lasts for like a gazillion years. Fruitcakes were designed, and it was actually a good luck thing for the crops. So they would make a fruitcake, and they would only eat half of it. And with all the sugar and the alcohol that was put in it, it would last until the next year. And so they would eat it again before they did the harvest so that it would give them a good crop. And that's the tradition of why the fruitcake was created.
I'm sure it's just as disgusting a year later.
Probably so. But I've never had one.
Me neither.
So as we talk about fun facts and fun Christmas traditions and some things, let's get into our Christmas theology. Because we've hacked a lot of things from pagan stuff and just traditional things, and we're trying to work these things out to fit it for a Christmas theme.
Did you know that this time of year, right? A lot of people, I'm sure you've heard of the scandal of, you see it in cartoons and you see it in different places, but Xmas.
People Merry
say
Xmas.
Merry Xmas, right?
You like that, Tom?
Yeah, most people get really upset about that, but now you're going to learn something, Tom. Are you ready?
I've heard it before.
You still don't like it?
He still doesn't buy it.
The X stood in place of Christianity for centuries. I mean, for a long, long time as a Christian, even when they signed different letters, that it would be with an X, right? In 1551, Xmas was Christmas. And later it was shortened to Xmas. So the entire time you've heard this Xmas, it's really not that bad, Tom, right?
It's not that bad.
Now you know.
So even when they try to take Christ out of Christmas and they say Xmas, they're still saying Christmas.
Sure.
The word Christianity was used with an X, Xtianity. Yeah. And that was how it was displayed. It's still Christian. Matter of fact, when we talk about Christmas, when was the first time the word Christmas was used? It was used in 1038 Matter of fact, that was the first Christmas service. It's actually a Roman Catholic service, and in the Latin it was Christus Mass, which is Christ Mass. And so in 1038, they held the first Christ Mass. And the name stuck, and they began to call it Christmas, because it was a time where they come together to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And that's just kind of how it happened.
Do you know the traditional colors for Christmas?
The traditional colors.
Traditional colors.
Red.
Red, what does red stand for?
What does red stand for? Christmas.
Red. What does it stand for? Anyone know?
Anyone?
What does red always
traditional
stand for?
Christian Christmas? It would have to be
red represents
blood.
Blood. Yep, blood of Christ.
Blood,
what's
blood,
the other
blood.
Color?
Probably green.
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 What's green mean? What's it mean? Go.
Go. Go. Go. Green. It's festive.
Resurrection. Newness. Green. Freshness.
Oh,
green.
Like, okay.
New life. Resurrection.
Green.
It's
gotcha.
Green.
Good.
Gold.
Gold.
Gold's the last one.
Oh, that's easy. That's probably if Christianity you're representing king.
Gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh.
Gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh. If you paid attention to the video. Yes.
So those are the Christmas colors, three of them.
Three colors.
They represent those things.
So we take the same Christmas colors that we have, and matter of fact, they'll probably be doing something back in our kids' program. We have stuff like this candy cane. You ever done the candy cane for the kids? And the hook and the J is for Jesus, and you turn it the other way, and it's a shepherd's hook, and the red for the blood, and the white for either snow or Jesus. When we accept him, he cleanses us white as snow. And then we do fancy little things like, look at a candy cane, what do you see? Stripes that are red, like the blood shed for me. White for my Savior, who's sinless and pure. J is for Jesus, my Lord, that's for sure. Turn it around and a staff you will see. Jesus, my shepherd, is coming for me. You know, we ought to take traditions that literally put Christ back in Christmas. All of our things should focus on Jesus. Matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writes that Christ created everything. All things were created by him and for him, and he wants first place in everything that we do. So, even though we've hacked some of these things from pagans, we still should use it for an opportunity to proclaim Jesus to everybody all the time, not just at Christmas, but make it a new tradition to put Jesus in all those things.
I used to have one more, the holly wreath.
Oh, like that one back there.
The holly wreath, yeah. Mm-hmm. The red berries, red, since it's a trend, Jesus' blood. Mm-hmm. The wreath itself represents the thorns on his head.
The thorns.
I didn't get the thorn part. I never knew that. There was a thorns on his head. It was pretty neat.
Originally, the gospel message, the Christmas story, was about Jesus' birth, the man that was born to die. That was his purpose.
Sure.
Paul says in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law. It's a good, the Christmas story has the Easter story in it. So we've even adopted that as pagan. But Christmas is not really a biblical holy day that's mentioned in the scriptures. Matter of fact, the symbols, the customs, the Christmas tree, the decorating of the tree, the wreaths, the plants, all of the stuff that we have, literally, in fact, were either from the original winter solstice or something else that we've adopted from pagan traditions or pagan festivals.
Sure. So, talking about traditions and all that kind of stuff, when we look at Scripture, right, and we see even like Israel didn't have Christmas, right, but they had a lot of different festivals, feasts. They had all kinds of, I was actually a personal trainer in Columbus. It's called a Jewish Community Center, right, JCC. And I had so many paid days off because they have so many different holidays. So they had a lot of traditions. But what we need to understand about some of these traditions their biggest one, even they still celebrate it today, is the Passover. Right? And we know what we know about the Passover is that it was when the angel of death came into Egypt, and if you didn't have the blood on your door, your firstborn was dead. Right? It was the 10th plague. It was the plague that kind of put the nail in the coffin for Pharaoh to say, get these people out of here. You just killed my son. Right? So they still celebrate the Passover. But what we need to understand about these traditions, and even when we look at Christmas and we look at Easter, each and every thing that we see in the Old Testament that is celebrated, everything is pointing towards Jesus. Right? Everything that we read, people ask what the Old Testament's for. It is looking forward to a coming Messiah, a Savior. And now that we celebrate Christmas, we can look back on Jesus' birth. And so we can celebrate him in that tradition. Because we see a king that's born in a manger as the Son of God, fully man and fully God. And as Danny said, this Jesus was born to die for you and for me, and that's what he did. So we need to remember these traditions, but know that everything that we need to be doing when we're having Christmases, when we're having these festivals and celebrations and feasts, everything points to Jesus Christ. So that's really what we need to focus on, right? That's the focus.
It does. It is the focus. But it's also should be a new Christmas tradition. You know, when the angels were told the story, or the shepherds were told the story from the angels, and they went to Bethlehem to see Jesus. And it said when they had left Jesus, they came back and they were praising God and they were glorifying God to everybody that they come in contact with, of everything that they saw and that they heard and that they were told. And that's what we should be doing. Not just Christmas. Make this a year-round tradition. A better Christmas story, I would say, would be the demon-possessed man at Gadara. And I think that's a beautiful story. Here's a man who had a legion of demons possessing him. And back in Roman times, in the Greek word for legion, it's actually a military term. Some interpret that to be somewhere around 10,000 to 20,000 troops. So this one man had 10 to 20,000 demons possessing him. And Jesus came and he cast them into swine. And speaking of swine, do you have turkey or ham at Christmas?
Christmas, I think we might have both.
You have both?
I don't know. Maybe ham. Christmas, I'm not a big turkey fan.
How many of you have turkey at Christmas? Oh, there's a few. How many of you have ham? A lot of people are ham.
How many of you have turkey on Thanksgiving just because that's what you're supposed to do? Exactly. Yeah, turkey's really not that good. It's dry and you just...
That's why you have leftovers. You make sandwiches and...
It's very okay. Of all the meats...
How many of you have both at Christmas, turkey and ham?
I'm a ham guy.
There's a lot of them. It's a lot of people. But just any opportunity to have a food.
Bacon should have its own holiday.
Bacon should have its own holiday. Anyway, I'm sorry. I apologize. Going back to the story. So when you think of the demon-possessed man, who Christ had cast out thousands of demons from this man, he was so appreciative of what Jesus did. He said, I want to follow you. Let me get in the boat and come with you. And Jesus said, no. In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, he said, no. He said, I need you to go back into the town to your family and your friends and tell them all the good that I have done to you and show them, listen to the word, show them how the Lord has had mercy on you. I think the King James and New King James uses the word compassion. Go and show them how the Lord has had compassion on you. You know, as a new, this should be our new Christmas tradition. It should be our New Year's resolution for 2021. To go and show how the Lord has had compassion on you. Has God had been merciful to you? Has he showed compassion to you? If you've been saved any length of time, yes, he has. You have heaven and eternal life. And you have so much to be thankful for. Go and show the world how Christ has had compassion on you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just traditions and fun memories that they create, and so many wonderful things, Lord, that we have in our lives. And even though things go on in this world, we're so thankful, Lord, that you can still give us joy at any time of the year. Man, our traditions, Lord, should be revolved around you. Our lives should be revolved around you. We should desire to come as a child with so much life and fun that they have. Serving you, God, shouldn't be a burden. It should be fun. It should be exciting. We should love it. You give us so much joy just for the salvation that you bring. And Lord, may we remember that tradition. And so, Father, I pray maybe someone doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. And Father, maybe today would be that day. What a day to accept your Son who came that first Christmas as a baby, the only man born to die. And Lord, may your church just remember how fun you are, how exciting you are, and just how wonderful you are. And may we show the world the compassion that you have given us. We love you, Lord, and we give you this invitation, Father, and we just pray that you'd have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.